Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Gox, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We appreciate it. Bigger than Oprah. Unbelievable. For 2 weeks. It was an amazing run. We appreciate it. Do it again if you can. We are very excited for our guest coming up this week. It is Neil Everett, longtime SportsCenter anchor, really good dude, cool vibe, fellow deadhead. Mikey A, I am very excited about this because I hold Neil Everett in such high regard. He is absolutely in my top five SportsCenter anchors of all time.
Oh, wow. That's a big lift. Wow.
I know.
Top five sports. I'll tell you this. He's definitely one of the top five people that I actually got to work with at ESPN. It's in terms of just a cool dude, just totally chill, just absolutely awesome to work with. Top five. I think he makes my list too.
He was so, Mike, he's so good at TV. So good. He's so relaxed, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's yeah, we're gonna do this, aren't we?
Yeah, we're gonna do a top five. We're gonna do top five SportsCenter anchors of all time. Each of us, we're gonna do a list as we head into Neil Everett right now because I'm excited. He was let go by ESPN, he's not the only one. There's been a ton of people who have been let go recently by ESPN, and I've told you this for a number of weeks now and a number of months. ESPN has shifted its priorities away from kind of the talent. Now you'll see. You know, guys like Scott Van Pelt and Mike Greenberg and those guys, Reese Davis, who are very good at television, they'll be hosting all the main things that ESPN has to offer. But ESPN has shifted its focus to a play-by-play company, and they should, quite frankly. I don't even disagree with the strategy because, as I've said, play-by-play is the one thing. It's appointment television, and it might be the only thing left that we have that is appointment television. You cannot tape a game and watch it 3 hours after the fact. Social media is going to ruin it for you. And so Neil Everett was one of those casualties. He's a great friend. I'm certain he'll do some great stuff moving forward here, but I'm excited to talk to him about his time at ESPN and what a great SportsCenter anchor he was and kind of the emotions and the feelings of no longer being at ESPN. I am going to give him some advice, Mikey. I am. I'm going to tell him, just trot out. Listen, they take the ESPN card away from you. Okay. They actually take your badge away. So you can't get into the building again, but you have to still run with the ESPN card. Okay. You have to call restaurants. You have to book reservations as if you're Neil Everett, SportsCenter anchor, because no one's going to notice for like 5 years. Okay.
You got to get a diehard sports fan that notices things like that, that yes, paying attention exactly. to the trades. All right. I think I finished my list and I am just shocked at who I left off because there are some juggernauts that it's, just OLI, man.
Hey, listen, I just put together my list. It is impossible to do this without hurting somebody's feelings, right? Like, at somebody who's a friend. Like, I have left several friends off of this list.
Me too.
There have been so many great SportsCenter anchors over the years, man.
Some of them would be like, nope, you made the right choice leaving me off, but there's right. one or two that have been like, how do you not put me on there?
Yeah, I know. So how do you want to do this? Are you going to go first? You want, like, are we going?
I'll go first, and I'll go.
You're
five. You're
gonna give all one. Five right now.
Oh, I'm gonna go all five right now. Okay.
You want to go 5-5, 4-4,
nope,
3-3?
Nope. Two? I'll do all five because okay. I'm worried we'll end up with the same ones. Okay. And for me, SportsCenter anchors, I go back to college. I remember like that was what was on in the dorms. That was on in the common areas. That was the thing that was always on, especially late at night when you're a college kid. So you got to really watch some of this stuff.
Right. So, the Feel Good Edition was unbelievable. Remember that? Yeah. The Feel Good Edition? Yes.
It was just always on. Yes. All right. So for me, number five, I go Linda Cohen. Wow. Linda Cohen was, I mean, she's a staple at ESPN. She's almost she's up great. There with the yes. Bob Lees and the Chris Bermans.
She is.
Number four, I got our guy Neil. I got our guy Neil Everett at number four.
Yeah. Wow. At four, huh?
You know what it is? He was on really late.
Right. No, I know. So, I know.
Yeah.
As you got older, he was on really late. Yes.
Yeah. Number three, I got Dan Patrick.
DP.
I mean, yeah. DP. I mean, it almost didn't matter who they put with him. It was always it was always awesome.
So good.
Number two, I got Stu. I got Stu Scott.
Oh, I mean, you nobody. Talking about me. I mean,
nobody. Yeah. No. I mean, what could you say about Stu that hasn't already been said, man? We're going to fly through this. And for me, number one, still the GOAT, SVP. SVP can handle it by himself almost more than anybody, and he's still doing it. And he's still really the appointment watching today.
He's great. He is. No, he's fantastic. That's a pretty good list.
I imagine Scott yours looks the same.
I think
a couple of different orders.
I think Scott Van Pelt would tell you that Stuart Scott is the greatest of all time. I think Scott Van Pelt would tell you that. Like he would be embarrassed that you put him above ahead of Stuart Scott. It's your list, though.
Yeah, it's my list.
Tell him to make his own list. Yeah. Why are we having some makeup conversation that never happened and is never going to happen with Scott?
We're having a fake argument with SVP.
Tell him to make his own list. He hasn't even commented, nor will he. All right, so you think you and I have similar lists here, right?
I think we probably have four of the same five in different orders, probably.
All right, so for me, SportsCenter is all about duos. It's all about great duos, okay. Right? Like, that's over time, there have been some great
duos. All right, so you're going to sneak in a sixth one. Or what are you going to do, Olbermann and Dan Patrick or something? You're going to combine those?
That would be the obvious one, right?
Yeah,
right.
It would be.
Maybe Craig Kilborn and Haber, the Feel Good Edition that I referenced earlier, or something one, yeah. like that. Number five, Jamel Hill and Michael Smith.
Oh, his and hers.
His and hers. What a run. It was a short run, a controversial run, but what a run.
I already see where this is going.
I love both of them. I do. Number four, Zubin Mehenti.
Zubanium.
What happened to him in the mornings at ESPN Radio?
Zubanium.
What happened in general to mornings on ESPN Radio?
Zubanium.
We digress. Number three, Jonathan Coachman. Coach.
The coach.
He was great. So good. Number two, our boy. He'll be joining us in just a minute. Why are you laughing at me? What's wrong with my list?
Nothing. Not a damn thing is wrong with you.
Number two, Neil Everett.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I mean, he's no in argument. Your top five. He's in my top five. I think he's in everyone's top five. Number one, top SportsCenter anchor of all time. I'm only going to tell you this. I will not tell Neil this. Okay. And hopefully Neil doesn't listen to the episode in which he is featured on. Okay. Stan Verrett.
Yeah, you came the guy.
He's just slightly better.
You're an ass. You're an ass.
Don't
edge listen, him out.
Don't tell Neil, okay? Don't tell Neil, Mikey.
Neil would argue that you're right. Let's have that.
He probably would, but the reason I'm saying don't tell Neil is because I'm going to tell Neil that he's the greatest sports center anchor of all time in just a second. Okay.
What would Scott Van Pelt argue about it?
I don't care. Tell him it's our list. Okay. What a weird open to a weird show. Hey, Van Pelt, back off. It's our list. His and hers. Why are you mad at me? Because
I'm mad at Van Pelt for arguing with me through you.
It's rude. It's tell him to pipe down.
Let me live.
Let's get to our friend. I will tell you this quick story on Neil Everett. When Dan and I started at ESPN, our type of radio, our brand of radio was so foreign to everyone at ESPN. But a guy who got it very, very quickly was Neil Everett. Why? Because he's cool. He's got a great vibe. He's into different things. And he sent me a very long note right when we started about how much he loved what it is that Dan and I were doing for ESPN and how much he loved my character. I had never met Neil before. It was unbelievable to get that note from a guy that I spent so many hours watching on SportsCenter because he is a legend and he is great. So, and he's also just a kind individual. He did not need to do that. He did it. I shared it with Dan. It touched both of us. So with that said, let's bring on the greatest SportsCenter anchor of all time, Neil Everett. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Mikey A., one of my favorite people and certainly a top five SportsCenter anchor of all time, and I am certain that you agree, is on the Zoom with us right now. It is Neil Everett. Do you agree with that, Mikey? Hey, before we get started with Neil here, who is coming home fresh from a golf tournament because his phone battery was dying, and I had to get to his old man just wobbling around the golf course commenting on everyone's bad shots while not playing golf. But is he a top five SportsCenter anchor of all time, Mikey? Hey.
Of course he's a top five SportsCenter anchor of all time. As a matter of fact, I produced Neil for a few shows during COVID when he was doing some fill-in radio stuff. Hi. And there's actually a little Grateful Dead connection in there with one of the guests we had on that spoke for 45 minutes. I think you can guess who it might have been.
The great Bill Walton?
It was. I think Neil said hello. And 45 minutes later, he said, what do I do? I said,
Neil, that's the beauty of Bill. Neil, that's the beauty of Bill Walton. Dan and I had him on recently. I've had him on several times. He went 47 minutes one time with me without stopping. But Dan and I, before we got started, we were actually placing bets on DraftKings. Okay. How many questions will we get into Bill Walton in 30 minutes? We set the over-under at 1.5, and I took the under and I won.
Exactly. Bet the under, no matter what it is. You can even do it. You can even do under a half because it could be Bill Howard, boom, and you don't even finish the question, and he's got it going. Love the guy.
He's the best. We'll get to the Dead in a minute because Neil was at a Dead and Company show in San Francisco. But you were at a golf tournament earlier today, and you were telling us stories of your dad criticizing everyone's game while not playing golf. I'd like to hear more about that, if you don't mind.
Well, my dad was a good golfer back in the day, but he's 85 right now with a new knee and an old knee. And his wife is playing right now, and after a couple holes, he says, I can't watch this. And I think she's like, please go back to the clubhouse. So we go back to the tent. We go back to the 10th hole, which is a little par three right next to the clubhouse, and you can sit right behind the tee box. And my dad knows a lot about – that's what I've learned today, is that he does know a lot about golf. He golfed at Stanford. He was good back in his day. You know, he'd be like, wrong club. He's got the wrong club in his hand. He's got the wrong club in his hand. And they told you'd leave it short. Told you you'd leave it short. And no, you know, listen, it's just it was funny, Stu Gotts. It was touching because he said, I don't know how many tournaments I have left in me. And I hope you'll take care of Marilyn. That's his wife when I'm gone. And that's the realization, you know, as we get older and the whatever the father son relationship is that every listener has and mother daughters too. It's they can be conflicting, and there's you know a lot of road that you've traveled, and you know you just hope that you end on paved road and a good parking spot at the end of it, because that's the best way for it to be.
Neil, how would you describe your vibe? Because you are one of the coolest people I've ever met. Just everything, all of it, just all of it.
Well, thank you. You know, I think it's really the assist is goes to Hawaii. You know, I moved to Hawaii in '85. I lived there till 2000. Had I not gotten the ESPN gig, I would have died there. Probably okay. Younger. I probably would have already died there. I just think, you know, I think I was in a tough spot when I went there, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and I got accepted, and I kind of had to make peace with myself, and it took a long time. I liked myself better. I liked myself best when I had that vibe going. So I decided, you know what, why don't you try and keep that vibe? You go to Connecticut, they try to take that vibe from you.
Oh, yep. But they don't try. They just take it from you, Neil.
Oh, no, I wouldn't let them. I got out. I think I got out just in time when they opened the LA office. So I was able to say, you know what, me and my vibe and my dog, we're going to go to LA.
If you don't mind me asking, because we don't do a lot, like, I'm not a grief eater like Levitard, okay? But I'm wondering what was going on in your life at that time before ESPN hired you, where it seemed like you were in a pretty low point, no?
Failed marriage, just living on the edge.
Right.
You know, you know what that is.
Yep.
And you live on the edge. Eventually you're going to fall off the edge. And, you know, I fell off a couple times off the edge, but fortunately it wasn't a big enough drop that it, you know, broke both my legs or, you know, fractured my spine or anything like that. So that call came at the right time. It was time to move on, time to get going. What lied ahead, there was no way of knowing. And that was 23 years of Sports Center, so it worked out well.
It seems like ESPN and Neil, I don't think you're alone in this. Like, it gave me an identity too, even though Dan and I had plenty of success locally beforehand. But those four letters, that platform, my parents being able to see me every day on TV, watch it, feel it, touch it. Oh, this is what he does for a living. It seems like in some way, shape, or form, it saved you a bit, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly changed my my economic situation. Number one, I mean, when I started in Hawaii, I started as a sports information director at a job that was advertised in the newspaper, because you still went to the classified ads for a job, and it was a sports information job at a college, and it paid $18,000 a year, and they hired me, and they said, we're going to give you 20, and I was like, hot damn. I am in tall cotton. And, the ESPN thing, yeah, it worked out, you know, it worked out well, you know, they gave to me, I gave to them.
Neil, let me tell you something. For at least the next 5 years, when you're making dinner reservations or trying to get a tea time, still say Neil Everett from ESPN. No one notices, okay?
Well, I think it's like, I think it's like when they say you're never a former Marine, or you're never a former, you know, you're never a former Rose Princess. My wife was a Rose Princess in Portland, and there was an article that said she was a former Rose Princess, and she looked at me, she said, once a Rose Princess, always a Rose Princess. And so, hey man, I think I'm always going to be Neil from ESPN, but especially if it helps me, you know, get a better seat, better tickets.
Yeah, I'm still doing it, Neil. I'm 3 years removed, and it's still, hey, Stugatz from ESPN, and they're still biting on it. So
I thought you guys were on ESPN. That shows you how little I know.
Well, you thought we were still there.
Yeah, I saw John Skipper, and I'm like, it must be another ESPN 3. I don't know.
That's so funny. What was it like? Like, I know, I think I heard an interview with you recently where you said you kind of saw the writing on the wall. And I think we all kind of, as talent, saw the writing on the wall where ESPN is shifting to – and I don't blame them, by the way, to where they have all the play-by-play rights, and those are the things that people want to see. It's the one thing you can't tape. You got to watch it live. Social media will ruin it for you. So you saw it coming, but what was it like when you actually found out, hey, Neil, great run, but the run is over? What was that like for you?
I was prepared for it. So, listen, businesses make mistakes all the time. So I'm not special in that department.
Right.
And I prepared myself for it by working for the Portland Trailblazers the last couple seasons. So, it was like, all right, it's not my decision to make. I'd laid track for it knowing it was going to be made a couple years ago, and, away we go, there's no crying over this. I mean, again, 23 years at any place, and at that place is a great run, and it was a great time, and I'm thankful for the time that I had there. I'm very grateful, and here we go.
One of the Blazers is going to trade Lillard to the Heat because we're all waiting down here for this to happen. So.
Yeah,
you got some inside information for us, Neil.
I got nothing on that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with, it's really interesting because first of all, Portland is the only game in town. I mean, yeah, they got a couple soccer teams now, but Portland is in the fabric of that community. And Lillard is, he is so huge in Portland. He's the big fish in the small pond. He's the whale in the small pond. He could run for governor and win. He does so much for the community. He's such a nice guy. I'll tell you a quick little Lillard story. So we're at a memorial service for Bill Shongley, and he was the voice of the Blazers forever. He's the one who coined the term Rip City. And he had passed away 80 something years old, and we're at this memorial, and Lillard is standing in the corner by himself, and my wife's, and I had never met him because I only did away games. So when I go up there, they're on the road. So people are like, what's Lillard like? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't met him. He's in Phoenix tonight. I'm in Portland doing the game. So my wife's like, go over and introduce. And I'm like, no. And I'm super introverted, except when the red light comes on, I can blow it up. When there's no red light, I'm in second gear. And my wife said, maybe not even second, maybe first. But she's like, go. You're going to regret it if you don't go. I go, okay, all right. So I walk up and I go, hey, Dame, Neil Everett. And he goes, I know who you are, man. And I said, well, we've never met. And I just wanted to come over and, thank you for, all the entertainment and all you do, how you represent Portland. He goes, man, we met before. And I'm like, oh, damn, I don't remember meeting Dame. This is uncomfortable. I said, we met before. Where at? And he said, it was my rookie year. I was in Eugene at this bar called Taylor's, and I met you. And I'm like, your rookie year at a bar. Okay, I'm going to give myself a pass on that one, that I don't remember meeting you from Weber State then. But
That he remembered you, Neil. I mean, geez.
Well, you know what? Let's get to the bones of it. That is what's impressive, isn't it? I kind of felt the same way. I went back to my wife. I go, I met him before, but he remembers meeting me. So, yeah, it's funny. It's funny, Stugatz, because I don't know if you get this feeling. I'm 61. I still feel like a kid when I run into people who I admire, who are kids compared to me. Lillard's 32, 33 years old, and I'm like nervous to go up and introduce myself to him, and then I'm all excited that he remembered me, So, and I think that's part of the beauty of this gig is, the legends that you meet, and then if you're able to leave any kind of impact on them or memory with them, that's just gravy. Through ESPN and the Heisman Trophy, I've worked with 45 of the 60 Heisman Trophy winners that are still alive.
Wow.
You know, and it's like what a great run. What are we doing? What are you and I doing if we're not doing this? I mean, it feels like I'm not going to speak for you. I can speak for it feels like it's going to be a huge drop off. You know?
Oh yeah, so, no, I could speak for myself. I'd be slinging muni bonds. That's what I'd be doing.
I'd be digging ditches, I think, or something. Or, you know, or welcome to Walmart.
Right. Well, Levitard and I always say that all of us should be doing these jobs with ski masks on that we're stealing for a living, Neil.
Absolutely. It's just it's great.
It's I love that Dame remembered. Was your wife very impressed that Dame remembered you?
Oh, my wife doesn't pay much attention to sports or me. So, you know, she's the bomb. You know, she's a therapy help. She's actually helping people in this life. So,
work. Yes.
Yeah.
Unlike you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Neil, here's the thing with what we do. Okay. Not to get too into ourselves for a second, but the greatest compliment that Dan and I get is we took someone through a very difficult time in their life. And I am certain that you've gotten some of that from fans. And for that, that makes us at least feel good. And I'm certain it makes you feel good because, Neil, people do, they're glued to us. They watch you every night on SportsCenter, or in our case, they listen to our show every day. And to hear someone say, hey, I'm a military vet. I had a downtime in my life. You guys got me through it. You made me laugh. To me, that's the greatest compliment that someone could pay any of us.
Oh, 100%. You know, I mean, through ESPN, I got involved with a nonprofit called Heroes Movement, heroesmovementusa.org, where we bought gym memberships for veterans across the country. That all started with me meeting somebody through SportsCenter. There's my friend Ryan in Virginia, born with cerebral palsy, who they said he was going to be a vegetable, and he says, now I eat vegetables. He comes all the way out from Virginia with his mom and dad to visit me because I'm his favorite SportsCenter anchor. You know, things. There's so many stories like that are just, you know, what you wish is, I just wish I had a better memory, and I wish I had jotted these down, kept a journal, because there's so many good stories that were a result of the position that I was in. And there will still be good stories. I mean, you know, I'm walking down the street in Astoria, Oregon the other day, and a guy comes by and he goes, hey, Neil Everett? I go, yeah, hey, what's up? You know, and then he says, I love you on SportsCenter. I'm going to watch you. When are you on next? I go, I'm never on again, bro. So, but it was, you know, oh, no. I'm like, yeah, but hey, man, life goes on. And, you know, it's, you know what I feel like, Stu Gotts, is that I've been outside my body, which I have been. I've been outside my body watching this life that I've been living.
Right. I want to tell you something, because early on when Dan and I started out at ESPN, and this meant the world to me, and this is why, I mean, there's a million reasons why I think you're a great person, and you really are a top five SportsCenter anchor for me all time, okay? But you sent me a note just saying how much you enjoyed what it is that Dan and I do, and I can promise you, we were not getting a ton of notes like that from anyone at ESPN, but Neil Everett reached out to me, and I showed it to Dan, and it meant a lot to both of us, sir, so thank you.
Oh man, well, you guys get it done, man. You know what it is? It's reminiscent, I think, of what Stan and I did. If you watched the show, you said, those guys are having fun.
Yes.
And if you're not having fun, why are you doing it? And if we're having fun, then hopefully we're entertaining you, because there's, you're on the same wavelength as we are to some degree, or you wouldn't have dialed us in to begin with.
Sure.
So there's something about our personalities that you take to heart. And now if we can make you chuckle, make you think, give you chicken skin, you know, then you're part of our family, man. You're part of this, you know, you were part of Stan and Mai's family at late night. Part of, you know, part of Dan and Stu Gotts' fam, you know, and you know, when they show that, they show your producers and all, you guys are cracking up, and it's like, those guys are having a good time, man. They're getting paid.
Yeah, it's sports, man. It should be fun.
We're not curing cancer. Okay.
Neil, I think the thing is just being relatable. None of us played, like, I know we all played sports growing up in high school, some of us in college. Most of us were not professional athletes. And I think there's a reason the audience relates to someone like me and you, Stan, Dan, as opposed to someone like Matt Hasselbeck. And I say that with all due respect to Matt Hasselbeck, but he's lived a different life than we've lived, Neil.
When they give Steve Young his walking papers, it's different than when they give Neil Everett his walking papers.
That's exactly right. Neil, were you even nervous? Because you have such a great vibe. It doesn't appear you ever get nervous. You're so cool. And I am wondering, were you nervous before your first SportsCenter?
Don't even remember it.
Really?
So, no. No. Wow. All I remember
Your memory is bad. You weren't joking.
No. All I remember is I go back to Hawaii and I tell the Ohana, the friends, the family. I'm like, hey, I'm doing SportsCenter now, and all anybody said is, when are you going to do a SportsCenter commercial? That's all anybody cared about. Yeah. So it was nice that the Federer commercial turned out to be able to live for so long, and they played that on my last show and all that. But yeah, I don't, you know, there's only, you got to have a little bit of, you know, it's, I don't know if nerves is the right word, but you better be on your game. Like, I'm not a good go out there and we'll just wing this thing. Right. I am not a winger. I worked that SportsCenter job every night. I showed up and I did my homework. I couldn't tell you what's going on with the Miami Marlins, but if I can see I got that highlight that night, it'll sound like, damn, that dude knows the Miami Marlins. It's not what I know. It's what you think I know. And you think I know more than I know. So I better do my homework, because I do not want to be exposed for what I don't know. Because to be honest with you, Stugatz, I'm not that huge of a sports fan. I don't sit at home and watch games. The sports took enough of my life as it was, you know, when Monday through Friday from, you know, 4 to midnight or whatever, I was going to be watching sports. So yeah, I can't tell you the last NFL game, regular season NFL game I watched.
Really?
Just pay no attention. Well, one is because I stopped gambling. Right. So that's out. And it's Sunday, and I had Sunday, Mondays off. And it'd be like, if I said to my wife, hey, we're going to sit around here and we're going to watch the Titans and the Browns today, she'd be like, whoa, are we really?
So Neil stopped gambling when gambling became legal, which is great, because I tell Dan all the time, I kind of miss the days where I'd meet a guy in a back alley and hand them a paper bag of money, you know.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of vices that you can fill in the blank on that one on. So yeah, if everybody knows you're doing it, what fun is there in it?
Yeah, you know? What was Stan's reaction when he heard the news? Because SportsCenter, for me, early on, the attraction was the duos, whether it was Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann or the feel-good edition. I think it was Haber and Kilbourn, which was fantastic. And you and Stan, I think, were kind of the last of the duos there. And you guys were so great together, such great chemistry. And you could tell how close you were just on air, just what good friends you guys were. Why do you think ESPN got away from that? And I am wondering, what was Stan's reaction when he heard that you were no longer going to be there with him?
I don't know why ESPN got away from that. That you'd have to ask, you know, the people that make those decisions. But that it is interesting, because, you know, we're at that point where you know, you already know who won the game.
Right.
You know, by the time we come on, for the most part, unless it's a super late West Coast game.
Sure.
You know who won. You probably have seen the highlights on your phone. So the reason to turn in that show is to see what kind of spin the two people, whoever that may be, can put on it. And as we just mentioned, what kind of spin can Dan and Stugatz put on whatever the topic of the day is? What kind of spin can Neil and Stan put on the highlights of the day? I know all the scores already. What are they going to tell me that I don't know? How are they going to make me laugh? What are they going to say that's memorable? And that's what we did. That's what you guys do. And that's, you know, and the thing is, my fastball is still popping.
Right.
But, you know, that's, hey, you know, it's Dave Roberts. They took me out in the fifth. So.
Right. Yeah. For a middle reliever. I mean, that was well done by you, Neil. I like that. What are you doing with all the free time now, besides playing golf and having your dad wander around criticizing everyone's game?
Yeah, I was up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho for a week. That's beautiful country up there. Went to the Dead show, didn't run into you, but saw some dear friends there. Went to a Neil Young concert at a 1,200 seat outdoor auditorium in LA that I didn't even know existed till Neil booked 5 nights in it. And now I'm up here for a week up here. You know, got a few things going. You got the, you know, negotiating with the Blazers, trying to figure out, you know, if I can do a little more since I've got a little more time, a lot more time. You know, Hawaii's in the mix, you know, some things going on there. And fortunately, you know, I didn't make a ton of money at ESPN, but I made enough that, and I saved it, that I don't have to do anything right now if I don't want to. But I want, there's, you know, something will pop its head up and we'll go from there.
You want to roll with me? I mean, I don't know what we'll do, but I'm ready to roll with you, Neil. I mean, I can tell you that right now. West Coast correspondent, what are we thinking here?
I told you. That's the one thing your show does not have. You are East Coast biased.
Yes, we are.
You need a West Coast correspondent. Dan Levitard, this is my audition tape.
You don't need to audition. I mean, I could just hire you, Neil, if you like.
There you go. We know who's got the real power in that relationship.
Oh, no, I don't. Mikey A., what do we do here? What do you think? I'm thinking of West Coast correspondent Neil Everett. What do you think?
Nothing wrong with that, as long as you send me out there every once in a while, just to make sure he's got everything he needs.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to need that Comrex tied up. You know, I am not going to be able to figure out how to do that thing without
Rem 234.
Yeah, I mean, I still got a VCR and an 8-track tape player, so I may need some technical help.
What is the, Neil, these are two very different questions. So this one first, the most meaningful text you got after leaving ESPN, the most meaningful one you got.
I think Chris Berman, because I didn't know Chris Berman had my I didn't know Chris Berman texted, first right. of all.
That's great.
So I think that Chris Berman reached out to me. Bob Lee sent me an email. You know, those guys are the legends. Yeah. Those guys, yeah, like you talk about top five, those guys are, they're beyond, you're like, they're, you know, it's like when you go, well, what about Berman? What about Lee? You go, oh yeah, they're above top five. You know, they're Hall of Fame, you know, yeah. They're, you know, emeritus, you know, I mean, they got, so they're so OG, they get their own category.
Right.
So I think that was I thought that was really cool because I have so much respect for both those guys. I mean, they built that place. The one that was most unexpected, I got a text from Dan Fouts.
Wow. I was going to ask you, what's the coolest text you got, which is a very different question, and it seems like Fouts.
Well, you know, Dan Fouts, like, I didn't know Dan Fouts even really knew who I was. And right. And we both went to Oregon, and I've talked to him a couple times, but it's not like I had Dan Fouts' number, and it's not like he had mine. He had to have asked somebody in our chain of acquaintances, how do I get a hold of Neil? And the fact that he did that, that was very meaningful to me.
That's very cool. You're right about the Dead & Company shows. We both went to the first night in San Francisco. We did not see each other. Did you see Walton, by the way?
No, but I was in touch with my wife is dear friends with Lori Walton, Bill's wife, and she was texting me telling me where they were to come down to the floor and dance with them, and I'm like, it's not that easy. I'm with Bill. This is funny. So one time in when we were in Bristol, and Bill was working for ESPN, and he got a hold of me and he says, hey, you want to go to the Rat Dog concert with me tonight? So, and it was the Rat Dog and the Allman Brothers playing at that Hartford amphitheater. And I'm like, yeah. And so I show up and I get to the seats and Bill's not there. And we, you know, we're like row 17 or whatever. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Bill's not there. And then I look, well, Bill's standing in the front row.
Of course.
And so I go up and Bill's like, ah, you know, I got, you know, boom, we watch Rat Dog. Then he goes, come on, we're going backstage. I'm like, geez, we go backstage. There's, you know, there's Greg Allman backstage and, the dudes from Rat Dog. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, Bobby Weir, are you kidding me?
Same.
You know, I just, yeah, what, a, you know, I mean, look at that. I mean, that alone makes that alone makes everything worth it. Yes. That one night.
Yes. I'm going to flip my phone over see it in a second because I want you to see how easy it is to get down to Bill Walton, okay? Can you see that?
Did you get? Is that you next to him?
That is me. For some reason, Bill made me push my belly out and lift my hat up. I don't know why I did that. But that is me and Walton at the final Dead & Company show in San Francisco. Front of house. The best. And was hanging out with Miles Teller right before that.
So you were on the floor all three nights?
Yeah.
I was up in the bleachers, but you know what? And I'm usually such a seat snob, but I didn't get the tickets, and my buddy got them. Eric Epstein, shout out to EJ, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And actually, it was kind of nice I'm not a huge crowd guy like that anymore. But the video presentation was excellent. And I don't know how you can see. I don't know how well you see it from the ground level, but boy, like. You could really see Cimini on the piano. Really, you know, it's just watching him go at it and up close. Bob Weir, and then they take the break, and he comes out in his Yellowstone outfit, and Mayer, just he's like, just all the facial expressions. So I really enjoyed it from that point of view. You know, it was a good way for me to see what is probably the last show, or who knows what they're gonna do next.
Of this iteration, there'll be another one, Neil.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'll tell you a quick funny Walton story. So I'm at the New Year's show out in Golden State, the Chase Center, where the Warriors play. And so my wife, my kids are with me, but they leave. It's getting late. And it's just me and Walton, sound. We're on the side. And he had someone else with him. I don't remember who it was. But we're front of house, side of the soundstage. And the second set ends. And I knew there was a third set. It would start at midnight. It's New Year's Eve. And Walton's like, all right, Stu, got to go. And I'm like, all right, Bill, it was a pleasure. It was nice to see you. You're leaving for the third set. He's like, got to go, Stu. Next thing I know, Bill Walton's on stage in a costume counting them down to midnight. It was unbelievable. The guy's amazing. He really is.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. First Dead show you ever saw was when?
Oh, gosh. First Dead show I saw was RFK Stadium, Washington. I believe it was 88 or 89. They played Loser. I mean, it was just, it was amazing. So how about you?
Mine was the 85 New Year's show in Oakland.
Damn.
Ken Kesey got on the drum box and went nuts. And that was the first show I'd seen again with Big John and Eric Epstein. And then I moved to Hawaii, so I never saw another show for 15 years.
That's crazy. I'm actually looking at it now because it's on Spotify. July 7th, 1989, JFK Stadium in Philly.
Yeah.
Little Hell in a Bucket, Ico, Little Red Rooster, Ramble on Rose, and a Loser. Huh.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. What do you think of the show? Mayer's incredible, right?
Mayer, it's funny. There's a place in New Haven, you might remember it, called Toads.
Yeah.
A little hole in the wall. I went down there years ago to see Buddy Guy. And Buddy Guy says, I'm going to bring out a little friend of mine. And out comes this 14-year-old kid, maybe. It's John Mayer, who lives down there, or did. And this kid comes out and just, you were like, damn. This kid can play.
Yeah.
And then he got into the, I love your body tonight or whatever. And I'm like, oh God, please stop. Yeah. And then he's on stage with the dad. And I mean, I think even Jerry from upstairs would be like going, nice job, kid. Nice job.
No doubt. That was, I was hesitant when they first started because I'm like, man, that catalog of music is tricky. And just being able to jam with those guys is really to improvise the way, but it was a little slow at the beginning, and then he slowly gained confidence. They slowly gained confidence, got faster and faster. And what you saw at the end there was them at their absolute best. So I'm glad you got a chance to see him.
Yeah, I mean, that Friday show, those first four songs, they came out just boom. Smoking. They were taking the lead in the race, and they were not going to get caught.
Yep. Neil, I got to be honest, turning on SportsCenter, not seeing you anymore, it makes me emotional. It does. I'm certain it makes you emotional as well. What are you going to miss most about that place, that job, and what you did for over two decades?
Well, I put parental lock on my TV, so then I just don't have to see it, because it's kind of like seeing an old girlfriend make out with somebody else. So I think that was the best way to go about it. So, you know, again, I'm not a huge sports watcher. It's not a show I would watch in my spare time to begin with.
Right.
The live programming is, which goes back to, hey man, this is where they put their dough. Yeah. You know, I'll watch a college football game and all that, but it's a tremendous part of an unbelievable journey for me. And it was there were a lot of steps in 23 years in that journey, but it's what's next. Can't wait for what's next. There's so many great stories out there. There's so much fun to have there. You know, we got, I'm on the back nine, I'm playing 13 right now, and I'm hoping we go to sudden death, because, I just want to enjoy it. And I did enjoy it. I had a hell of a good time and a great run. And I met so many cool people. I'm talking to you right now. Come on. Walton always says he's the luckiest guy in the world. Listen, there's a lot of room on that planet for lucky guys, and I feel like I'm on it with him.
No doubt about it. Mikey, yeah, you had something?
Yeah, I mean, take the parental locks off. She might be making out with a new guy, but that guy is ugly, man. Just go ahead and just watch it.
Ain't Neil Everett, that's for sure. Mikey is right about that, Neil.
Yeah.
Stan doesn't love that new guy the way he loves you. I don't care how he looks at him.
Yeah, the problem is I can't stay up that late. I mean, I'm in bed before that show goes on, and I was sitting out there with Stan some nights, going like, man, how did we do this 5 nights a week? Because now we're doing it like 3 nights a week. And back east, we were coming on at 1 a.m. I was getting off at 3, going to bed at 5 a.m. And I wasn't a young guy. I started at ESPN when I was 38. I was a late ad. I was a late find. And I just continually outkicked the coverage. And then I was like, okay, now I'm a made man. My wife says I'm going to bed. I'm like, I'm going to bed too.
What time are you getting to bed, Neil? Like 8?
No, 9.
9. Yeah, 9 seems good. Mikey, yeah, he's agreeing. We're all old. It's terrible. Poor Van Pelt's up at midnight still.
Oh, yeah. Right.
For now, at least. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Neil, thank you so much. It was a great run. And Mikey A and I both mean it when we say top five sports center anchor.
Thank you.
I'll put you ahead of Berman. I will. And I am. I'm putting you ahead of Chris Berman. How about that?
Well, see, he's in a whole nother league. So,
I remember him more with TJ than I do on Sports Center, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got to give those guys, Steiner.
They built it, yeah.
Yeah, and Linda Cohn, Linda's still there, but Hall of Fame. Those guys are, those are the people that, it's funny, like I remember real quick, because I know I remember like the first time I did a show with Dan Patrick, the first time I did a show with Kenny Mayne, I was like, I'm on the air with Dan Patrick. I'm on air with Kenny Mayne. Yeah. What's going on here? I felt like I'm the guy who, I walked backwards into the movie theater when the show was letting out so then I could get in, And it was like, I'm here. What a great time. Don't wake me up, man. Even though I'm not there anymore, I'm still living the dream.
I don't think people understand that. Like for people, at least for me, who grew up watching SportsCenter and ESPN so much, what it was like the first time I was on First Take, or when I was the guest picker on College Game Day because A-Rod and J-Lo had to cancel, and that poor camera crew woke up that morning thinking they were going to A-Rod and J-Lo's house and ended up at mine, Neil.
That's a good story. I had heard that story.
Oh, yeah, it's a great story. But, yeah, working with those people and having conversations with Dan Patrick and have them be, friends of mine till this day. And I'm certain you feel the same way, and you do. It meant a lot. It meant, for a kid growing up wanting to be a broadcaster, it meant more meeting those guys than it has the relationship that I've developed here with Travis Kelce or Aaron Rodgers. I love those guys, but man, I'd rather hang out with you and Dan Patrick any day of the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Same's true. And when you're out on the West Coast, holler at me, and it'll be good to catch up in person.
Will do. We appreciate you. You've always been kind to me with the exact right words at the right time when I needed them, Neil. So thank you very, very much. I sent them right back to you, exactly what you wrote to me. But it was a great run, man. I'm happy for you. And good luck with what's next. And what's next is West Coast sport, correspondent for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz, okay?
Long may you run, brother.
Long may you run, sir. I'm going to make this happen, Neil. You and I are going to roll together, okay?
All right, brother. Aloha. Okay. Aloha, Mike.
Stugatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.